and we're already playing.
Well, great. And folks, Len talks about chasing waterfalls and how he got started on that quest as well in his book. So again, Len, thank you so much for sharing some time with us and telling us a couple of stories, and safe travels on your way home. I'm sure the trout will be waiting for you when you get here.
Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome. Len Harris joining me from Panama City in Florida, and you can get his book on his Facebook page as well as on Amazon, and that's Len Harris on Facebook. I'm Dan Small, more Outdoors Radio right after this.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads. Classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, the RangeWI.com.
Castle Rock and Peyton Well are two of Wisconsin's largest inland lakes. With more than 60 square miles of water, they offer four seasons of outdoor fun. Halfway between the Twin Cities and Chicago, and just minutes from Wisconsin Rapids and the Dells, you'll enjoy family-friendly resorts and campgrounds, great fishing, bike trails, county, state, and national parks, and the Nisida National Wildlife Refuge. Learn more at CastleRock-PetonWell.com or on Facebook at Castle Rock Peyton Well Lakes Association.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
The Midwest's largest fishing website, lake-link.com, is your online fishing resource. 90% of Lake Link's features are yours to use free of charge. And members get access to Lake Link's online lake map library, lets you get GPS coordinates of any spot on the lake, and export waypoints to your onboard electronics. Members also get free outdoor classified ads, discounts on online store merchandise, and a whole lot more. You can also listen to Outdoors Radio 24/7 on Lake Link. Listen to this week's show, catch any of our past shows, subscribe to our podcast, or even sign up for our weekly e-newsletter so you'll know in advance what's coming up right here. Just type in the keyword radio. See what you've been missing. Log on to lake-link.com today. That's lake-link.com.
Serving Wisconsin's beautiful Northwoods, 98Q Country is 98.3 FM WCQM Park Falls, a civic media station.
You're tuned in to the broadcast ministry of Cornerstone Church in Ramsey, Michigan. We're glad you're with us today. Now let's join Pastor Todd as we allow God's Word to build our faith.
Well, good morning. It's great to have you with us. We are so thankful each week that we have an opportunity to share the wonderful good news of the Word of God with so many. And let me encourage you that if you'd like to connect with us online, you can go to our Facebook page, and that's Cornerstone Ramsey, or you can go to our YouTube page, same address, Cornerstone Ramsey, and you will be able to connect with us there. You'll be able to watch our online and our full services. If you'd ever want to connect with us there, you can also email us at contact@cornerstoneup.com, and you'll be able to maybe share with us a prayer need or what God's done or a wonderful answer that you've experienced, what God is doing in your life. You need to declare those things, and so we want to give you that opportunity. Our church continues to step out and step into the plans that God has for us. We look ahead with an expectancy to what He has in the days to come. And so when we walk in His presence, we know this. That means that He wants to direct our steps. I love that verse in Isaiah that it says, "You will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk this way, walk in this path.'" And I don't know if there's ever been a time that I've been more dependent on the wisdom of God. His wisdom and his ways are not optional for us in these days that we're living in. With such deception and such confusion, we need to understand the wisdom of God that is pure and peaceable, not contaminated, not filled with conflict, but pure and peaceable, and so we can understand and know the path that he's called us to. I want to start a series this morning. We're going to kick off, and we're going to call it The Path of Proverbs. Now, you might understand, you might think, what is a proverb? Proverb is a simple, tested, tried truth that will direct our paths. Let me say that again. It's a simple, it's a direct, it's a tested truth that will lead us by wisdom, by truth, that what Jesus says, if you know this truth, you will walk in freedom. Again and again, we find the declaration. There's over 25 times in scriptures that the word path is mentioned, and it's a directive. It invites us. There's an invitation for us to come and follow this path. A path is something that is easily marked out and it's maintained. Let me say that again. Easily marked out and it's maintained. A path is not hard for us to find, is it? Because it's marked out. Many years ago when I used to run our property management business, I had a lady that contacted me, and she owned some property just south of Hurley off in 51, and it was a beautiful piece of property with a private lake on it. And years ago, her family had used it to cut ice off. That was their business, as they sold ice off this lake. You can imagine how long this family owned this piece of property. And the paths had been left go, and they'd become overgrown. And there were literally roads on that property, over 240 acres. There were roads there. And what she hired us to do is to go in and take out trees and clear out down trees that had grown up over the last 70, 80 years, and then grade them and haul in more gravel where there'd been washouts. And so what we did when we finished up with that property is we made clearly defined roadways, pathways through that property. And before, when you'd have to struggle to get through to the lake, no longer, you could actually drive a pickup. You could walk there easily. You could ride a bike, because we maintained those pathways. And it made it so much easier for her and others to be able to access the wonderful benefits that that property afforded to them. I want to use that illustration this morning, that God has maintained some pathways for us. He's marked them out clearly for us. And he has a destination for you and I. He has a destination that he wants us to make. He wants us to get there, because there's so many benefits when you follow his pathway. There are so many absolute benefits by following the wisdom and the ways of God. My life verse from Psalms is chapter 16, verse 11. It says this: you will show me the path of life. You will make known to me the path of life. Another translation says, and in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Do you hear what the psalmist is declaring? He says, you will show me, or you will make known to me, this path of life. In my 59 years, I've witnessed way too often and way too many people that have not taken this wisdom to heart. And they've said, I will do it my way. I will go whatever direction I want to go. I will do whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it, and however I want to do it, because it's me, me, me. And when you walk in that deceptive rebellion, and hear me, it is deceptive, and it is rebellion, It will lead you not to a path of the fullness of joy and the pleasures forevermore. It will lead you to a path that you will find great despair and you will find great pain in that pathway. And I believe this with all my heart because I've watched it play out over and over. Maybe you're looking at your own life and you can see your own life where you have been nothing but disappointment or despair because you've went your own way, how you think you should live, how you think you should respond, and you've not taken into account the proverbs, the wisdom, the simple, tested, tried truth of God's word, and you've went your own way. And that deceptive rebellion has led you into a path of great torment. But today I have good news for you, that if you say, no, that's not the direction I'm going. This last week I was heading somewhere and I knew I forgot something at my house and I needed to turn around. And so I did a U-turn. I made sure that I could do that. Today, maybe this is coming to, you're beginning to realize that you're going in the wrong direction and God is calling you to make a turnaround, to make a U-turn. And the wonderful thing about it is the grace of God will constantly beckon you and call you and say, no, you're going in the wrong direction. Psalms, it says, he will lead me in paths of what? Righteousness for his name's sake. The enemy wants you to lead you in paths of unrighteousness. And when you follow those paths of unrighteousness, oh, the door is open to everything that he has. He wants to rob and steal and destroy. I love what it says in Isaiah chapter 35. It says, there will be a highway there. I will show you this highway of holiness. Oh, can you get a word picture of that? Holiness means this: set apart for something better. Living in freedom. Not bound by all these other things. Last Sunday at Cornerstone, I would encourage you, if you get a chance, to go back and watch that service on our Facebook or YouTube channel, because we celebrated 7 years of God's faithfulness with Inside Out Ministries. It's another arm of Cornerstone that reaches into places of, in jails, prisons, those who are suffering, struggling with addiction, and they're getting set free and stepping into that. And we shared some of their testimonies. It is amazing what God will do when he takes a life that's headed in the wrong direction and he does a 180. I pray this for people all the time. Oh God, would you do a 180? 180 degree change. You're going one way and all of a sudden you're going back the other way. I have something better for you. I have a plan better for you, so much better for you. Oh, it was such a joy to see people's lives that have been so absolutely turned around and they're stepping into the plans that God has for them. In Matthew, Jesus said this, this gate is narrow and the road that leads to life is a narrow one and only a few find it. He says, this is the way, walk this way. This is the path of life. Jesus says, I am the way. That's what he means when he says, this gate is narrow. When you walk on that, through that gateway, the gateway of Christ, it opens for you an enormous pathway for you. But Jesus says, I am the way, and this is the gate that leads to this narrow way. But this narrow way is not like a balance beam where you're gonna feel like you might be falling off. No, he says, you come through this gate, and then I open up for you, and no longer are you going to trip up all the time. No longer are you going to be constantly encountering danger after danger when you say, no, I've set the Lord before me. He is always before me. The Lord is my right hand, I shall not be moved. When you step into the path and the gate, through the gate of Christ and on the path that he has, he says, oh, I am this truth, I am this way, I am the life, and I will walk next to you. You're not going to feel like you're ever alone or isolated. I'm right here beside you. I'm making a way for you through this wilderness. Oh, the wonderful message of Christ is he says the enemy's paths are one of pain and destruction. He said he comes to rob and to steal and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might experience life, and a life that's lived in the abundance of God, where you don't have to wake up feeling like, where am I going to get my next addiction? Or you don't have to live in fear. I've been praying for people that live in depression, that God would break off that depression, that he would give them the path of righteousness, that pleasures forevermore, that joy would surround them. And I'm believing that I am seeing, and I tell you that when you see miracle after miracle in people's lives, all of a sudden you realize, oh, this is amazing. The path that God's called for you and I is one that we will have. Maybe there will be some, it's not always going to be easy, but it will be an adventure, because you know that God is leading you and he is directing your steps. This last week, we've had some more doors open for the ministry of Cornerstone. And I shared with our church last Sunday about the opportunity to purchase some a property right here in Ramsey. And we're going to make the upstairs a place for women coming out of addiction to be able to live in a safe and secure place. What Carolyn said in her testimony last Sunday here is when she moved into this Hope House that now is men are living in. But when she first came into that, she said, I felt like I could rest. I felt like it was a safe place. God's opening doors. You say, well, how's this happen? Somebody asked me that this last week. Here's how it happens. I pray. I seek God's will. Many pray. Many seek God's will. And what's taking place is there's a movement and it's building momentum. And we are seeing atmosphere change in our area, where people that used to live in chaos are all of a sudden stepping into the peace of God and stepping into the plans of God. And they're starting to live the adventure that God's called them to live. Oh, when we begin to understand this, that we can experience the wonderful doors. I open a door for you no man can shut. And when God begins to direct your steps, it's like a treasure hunt. You ever been on a treasure hunt? I talked with a guy this last week, and he told me about finding some treasure. And I was like, wow. And it was provision of God. And there was excitement with it. When you're on a treasure hunt, there's anticipation that God has something for you. I prayed for somebody a few weeks ago when they were on a trip, and I said, I'm going to pray that God would give you some wonderful surprises, and that you would experience the wonderful peace of God, and you would know that it's his gifts that he's giving to you. Should we be able to expect that? Oh, we have a heavenly Father who knows how to give good gifts. My image of the Heavenly Father is this, that he loves me, that he gave up his son for me. How shall he not freely give me everything that I have need of today? I don't have to live in fear. I step in faith. The path that God's called you and I to is one of not common sense, but it's his presence. Common sense is something that's been elevated. Well, that doesn't make sense to me. When you're following the path of God, at times things don't make sense. Did it make sense for Peter to get out of the boat when Jesus invited him? Didn't make sense. It didn't make sense for them to take this little boy's fish and loaves of bread and break them up and give them to that didn't make sense. But they were following the path of God. See, when you and I follow the path of God, some of the things that we do will not make sense to other people. And that's okay. Some of the things that God's called me to have not made sense to other people. But I've known that this is the will of God. This is the voice of God. This is the Spirit of God. And when I walk in it, I move out of my own common sense and I move into His presence. Too many people want to live in this faith life with their own logical, and that becomes this anchor. Well, I just can't make sense of this. Some people, that is the biggest barrier for them to experience the wonderful forgiveness that Jesus Christ offers, because it doesn't make sense. But when God's convicting you and calling you, all of a sudden you step out of what makes sense in your mind, and you step into the presence of God. And when you and I step into the presence of God, when we step into the plans of God, we step into the provision of God. Did you hear what I said? When you step out of your own common sense and you step into the presence of God, where He says, this is the way, walk this way. This is what I want you to do. Do this. It doesn't make sense. When God calls me to respond in generosity, it doesn't make sense. People would look at me and say, that would not make sense to me. God called me to do something, Robin and I, several years ago, that He made a promise to me. And I hear me, I understand this. That when we say, test me in this and see if I not open up the doors of heaven. And when God said, test me in this, I said, I'll test. All right, God, I'm going to step out in faith here. This doesn't make sense. If I called the accountant, they would have said, what are you doing? But when God speaks to you, you do what God's called you to, and you experience the peace of God. We're in a midst right now where we have to $200,000 to purchase some property and renovate it here in Ramsey. That doesn't make sense. I had a call from a guy. He hasn't worked in 4 months. And you know what he said to me? He said, we watched you online. And he said, my wife says we're going to give $7,500 to that project. That doesn't make sense. But hear me. When you and I will trust God, when we will trust Him, we will step into an adventure. But it's not for the light. It's not for those that faint of heart. Hear me. The adventure is not for the faint of heart. Last year, I went down to Tennessee and took a week of vacation, and my wife and I walked part of the Appalachian Trail. The Appalachian Trail covers 11 states. It goes through part of 11 states, and it travels 2,190 miles. The Appalachian Trail, for those who successfully walk it, it is not for the faint of heart. But hear me, they are on an adventure that they will never forget. It's not easy at times, but they choose that direction. When you and I follow the path that God has for us, it will not be easy, but it will be exciting. And we will live in such a way that others will say, wow, how does that work out? Because we've chosen to trust the presence of God and experience every path, every plan that He has, and to step in the wonderful excitement of watching Him provide. I still believe this, that one of the names of God is Jehovah Jireh. And that means my God is my provider. And so when I trust Him with whatever He's trusted with me, He says, this is the way, Todd. Come follow me. And when I see other men and women do that, I get so encouraged, because I realize this, that they are the courageous ones. See, courage always encourages me. Courage always encourages me. And I see those people that step on that trail and say, this is the path that God's called me to. You know, I've thought about this Appalachian Trail. You will make the destination if you stay on the trail. I believe that is the same way in the spiritual realm. If you stay on the path that God's called you to, you will make the destination and you will not just limp across the finish line. What did Paul say? He wanted to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You stepped out when I called you to step out. You stepped up when I called you to step up. You stepped into when I called you to step into it. And then you stepped through." And that's what I see with Paul. He was stepping through. He said, "This is where I'm going to end this thing. This will be the last will and testimony of my life. I wasn't perfect, but I was faithful. And I did it well." I believe that God calls us to a path. I know the path that I used to live on, and that was one of regret. As a young man, I lived for my own purposes and my own plans. And the destination that I came to again and again was regret. And I can tell you that God's hand was on my life because the weight of the regret that I encountered was something that was so heavy that I did not want to live that way. I came to the end one night in Iowa, and I said, "I don't want to live like this any longer. I don't want to finish my days, and my last thought before I drift off into a fretful sleep is one of regret." And that night, I made a decision. No one else. I said, "This ain't going to be the end of me. I'm not keeping on this path." And I found this to be true. Not that this path has always been an easy one, but it's been an adventurous one. And I found this to be true, that when I follow the path of God, what he fills me with is joy, because joy is my strength. I wanted to move out of a place of regret and to live in a place of joy. That's why that verse means so much to me. "You will make known to me this path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." I can rejoice in him because I don't have a weight of sin that is hanging on my head. I don't look at the past and say, "I offended that person. I did that person wrong." I say, "Oh, God, please help me. Forgive me. Help me to forgive others and help me to seek their forgiveness when I do wrong them." "You will make known to me this path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." That pleasures forevermore, hear me, that is eternity. That is the moment when you pass out of this life and you get a glimpse of the next, and it's pleasure. Saturday, I traveled to do a funeral a couple hundred miles away. I was down there a week before that to see this lady, less than she would pass away within 36 hours from when I was there. We prayed in that room in a hospital in Marshfield. I said to her, "What do you feel now?" And she said, "Oh, the peace of God." Her daughter called me on last Sunday morning, 7:30 in the morning. Said, "My mom died last night." I said, "What was that?" "Oh, the peace of God was in that room." "Oh, and you know what was so good, Pastor Todd," she said, "to see her smile." She smiled and then she took two more breaths. Wow, pleasures forevermore. I've been listening to this song, "Nothing to Hold On To." It's a wonderful song. It says, "I lean not on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the Maker of Heaven. I give it all to you, trusting that you will make something beautiful out of me." Nothing to Hold On To, the title. You should look it up and listen to it. Nothing to Hold On To. "Cast all your cares on me, for I care for you. Place your burden on me. I will lift you up." These are wonderful truths that I've shared with you this morning because I believe this with my whole heart. That when you step into the truth of Christ and the plans of God, you will experience the wonderful peace of God. Today, if you don't have that peace, if you are on the wrong path, I don't believe it's an accident that you are hearing this. I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now. You have lived your life. And when I said I lived with a weight of regret, you said, that's me. And today that's going to stop. And it stops by simply experiencing the wonderful grace of God through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. He paid that penalty for you. And so you can walk out of this despair and into joy of God. I want to pray for you right now. Maybe some are on this path, but and it's been difficult. It's not been easy. But oh, I tell you, there's something better waiting for you. Keep moving ahead. Don't leave the path. There's some trials on the path. There's some tests, but don't leave it. We're going to pray right now, and I believe this. It says His Word is powerful. It's living. It's active, and it wants to accomplish life for you today. But all you have to do is agree with it. Maybe it's not going to even make sense, but you're knowing the presence of God right now. Father, thank you that you're drawing people out of darkness. Thank you for men and women that their testimony, their life is regret. I wish I wouldn't have. I wish I didn't do that. Today, God, we stop that right now. Would you bring the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit to bring conviction and forgiveness and repentance? Thank you for doing that right now. Thank you. More. Just invite Him to place your trust in Him. Say, Jesus, help me. Fill me. Forgive me. Miracles are starting right now. Thank you, Jesus, that you're doing miracles right now for men and women. And you're giving them a peace that they've never known before. A joy that they've never known before. Thank you, Jesus. I pray for those that have been following this path, but it has not been easy. Today, that you would encourage them, that they wouldn't take a detour today. And if they've taken a detour, they'd get right back on the path. Because it's the way that you've called us to live. Thank you that you're the way and the truth, Jesus. Thank you that you promised us that we would experience life that's worth living. So I bless people today, right now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. We'd love to hear from you. You can email us, like I said earlier in the message, contact@cornerstoneup.com. We'd love to hear from you. We're praying for you this week. We know this, that He is for you. Who can be against you?
You've been listening to the broadcast ministry of Cornerstone Church in Ramsey, Michigan. Our service times are Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock and Sunday mornings at 9:30. Please visit our website at cornerstoneup.com or call us at 906-663-4700. Cornerstone Church, loving God, loving people, serving the world.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Water.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Showers will develop, especially in the mid to late afternoon hours. Plenty of clouds, plenty of wind as well. Northeast winds gusting between 20 and 25, and highs reaching the mid-40s. For tonight, rain will continue and our winds will stay breezy. Right now, it's 40.
East Lutheran Church in Park Falls, in cooperation with St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Butternut, now bring you the Lutheran Hour on 98Q Country, each Sunday morning at 8:30.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations. Jesus' first followers were transformed and opposed, but they couldn't stop talking about Him. It's still that way today.
It's amazing, improbable, bordering on unbelievable, and yet here we are, because His followers found themselves transformed, and despite the opposition, they couldn't shut up about Him. So also today, people are still talking about Him, arguing about Him, censoring Him, slandering Him, and wearing hats declaring their love for Him.
Stay with us for Dr. Michael Ziegler's message just ahead today here on the Lutheran Hour. And later, more of our conversation with author and teacher Dr. Jeff Gibbs. Hi, this is Mark Eicher. Thanks for making the Lutheran Hour part of your week, and thank you for your faithful support. To learn how your gifts and prayers help to bring Christ to the nations and the nations to the church, go to LutheranHour.org. Now with today's message, here's Dr. Ziegler.
The first thing I noticed about Albert, besides his
pressed slacks, white shoes, dark skin, and elderly gait was his baseball cap. It was navy blue, with the bill bent slightly, and prominently displayed on the front in white stitching, it said, "I love Jesus," with a red heart standing in for the word love. Now, what can you safely assume about a man who wears a baseball cap declaring his love for Jesus? That he'd served as an usher in his church? Or that he'd had a crack addiction that almost killed him? That he'd retired after 20 years as a mailman? Or that he was a public school teacher with 20 years in that profession? Or that he was a migrant worker who picked tomatoes in Ohio, oranges in Florida, and apples in Carolina? Would you assume that he'd served in the army? Or that he'd served time in an army prison? Would you assume that his mother was a prostitute who'd held him down while her boyfriend beat him? Or that his mother was a beautiful woman who'd made sacrifices to send him to the local Catholic school where the nuns told him that Jesus loved him? In Albert's case, after 78 years of struggle and transformation, it's all true. But I'd never know it if I hadn't had a conversation with him. He'd just be an elderly black gentleman with a Jesus Love hat on. Turns out Albert has at least two of them, two hats. First time I saw him, he wore a navy one with white lettering. And on the day we met for breakfast, he had a white one on with navy lettering. The heart on both was red, and both said the same thing. And whatever you or I might assume about someone who wears a I Love Jesus hat, you just won't know unless you talk with them. Because like anyone else, Albert has a one-of-a-kind story, unlike anyone else. And yet, there are some things you can safely assume about someone like Albert who's willing to say that he or she loves Jesus. First is that that person is undergoing a transformation, because no one can embrace the name of Jesus and not be transformed in some way. Second, you can assume that this person is facing some opposition, enduring some struggle that's trying to separate them from the love of Jesus. And third, person who's been embraced by the love of Jesus finds themselves in conversations in and around Jesus. To see this pattern, all you have to do is listen to the biblical book, The Acts of the Apostles. For example, take these excerpts from Acts chapters 3 and 4. Listen and notice how those three characteristics stand out: transformation, opposition, and conversation. The scene sets up like this. It's in Jerusalem, in the temple, the most holy site for Jewish people at that time, around 33 AD. For centuries, there's been a gathering rainstorm of expectation about the Messiah, this figure who is to fulfill all the ancient promises God made to Israel, the descendants of Abraham. Promises to transform the world, to rescue us from opposition against each other and against God, to faith in God and love for God and for each other. Now, there was this group of Jewish people who believed that Jesus of Nazareth is the guy, the man, the Messiah. But there was also opposition against Jesus, because they thought his claims to be the Son of God were too much. And when the opposition turned to open hostility, culminating in Jesus' crucifixion, his followers cowered in fear, unwilling to be identified with him. But now, 2 months later, two of these Jesus followers, Peter and John, are back in the temple, transformed, telling people that God had raised Jesus from the dead. And then God provides a miracle. There was this middle-aged man who'd been crippled, couldn't walk since he was a boy, And he was there in the temple, and Peter and John, they heal him in the name of Jesus, and he's restored before their eyes. And when the locals see this crippled man standing there, transformed, next to Peter and John, who've also been transformed, now they want to be in on the conversation. And Peter and John more or less tell them, look, it wasn't by our power or because of our devotion to God that this man was healed. It was Jesus, whom you all handed over to be crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. It's by his name, the name of Jesus, and by faith in his name that this man was transformed. And then, while Peter and John are in the temple talking to the people, telling them how they too can be transformed by faith in Jesus, here comes the opposition. The Jewish leaders come upon them, annoyed, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So they arrested them and took them into custody until the next day, since it was already evening. But of those who heard the word, the message about Jesus, many believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. Now the next day, the leaders of the people with their religious experts assembled in Jerusalem, and summoning Peter and John, they questioned them, saying, by what power or by what name did you do this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, answered them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being questioned today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, how this man was healed, let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel that it is by the name of Jesus, the Messiah of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. By him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone rejected by you, the builders, that has become the cornerstone. And there is rescue. There is salvation in no one else, because there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing there beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. So they dismissed them from their presence and conferred together about this, saying, what are we going to do about these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to everyone living in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it may spread no further among the people, let's warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. So they summoned them again and charged them not to speak and not to teach any more at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered, whether it is right in God's sight for us to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. But we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. And when they had threatened them some more, they let them go, since they had no way to punish them because of the people, because they were all praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing had taken place was more than 40 years old. And when they were released, they went to their friends and reported to them what the religious leaders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted up their voice together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, you who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, you who spoke by your servant David, our father, by the Holy Spirit, saying, why did the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves together, and the rulers of the earth gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed, his Messiah. For truly, in this city, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the nations and the people of Israel, gathered together against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed to do what your hand and your plan decided in advance would take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal. And signs and wonders are performed in the name of your holy servant, your child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. That's from the 2,000-year-old book, The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4. And maybe we take it for granted that all these years later, halfway around the world, people are still talking about Jesus today. This name once banned. It's amazing, improbable, bordering on unbelievable, and yet here we are, because his followers found themselves transformed, and despite the opposition, they couldn't shut up about him. So also today, people are still talking about him, arguing about him, censoring him, slandering him, and wearing hats declaring their love for him. Albert, the man I mentioned at the beginning with the hat, his story is one of a kind. It's different from these first followers of Jesus, but those three threads connect them. Transformation, opposition, conversation. Albert is a man transformed, but he's also faced opposition to faith in Jesus. Like that crippled man in the temple, Albert has had reasons to doubt God's love, or to doubt that God's love is also for him, or that there is such a God who loves. Albert was one of his mother's 13 different children. Only a few of them had the same father. My mother, Albert told me over breakfast, was a busy woman. He didn't get to know his father, but his mother's boyfriend became sort of a surrogate father, although Albert says he was an evil man. One day his mother's boyfriend was chasing him. Albert was around 9 years old. He ran out of the house stark naked, wearing only his shoes. The man crashed through the back door like a Mack truck after him into the alley. Albert, his heart in his ears, senses the man's heavy treads behind him, and then a skid, a crash, and a howl. That murderous truck had hydroplaned, tipped, and rolled onto the asphalt. And it gave Albert the half second he needed to escape. He darted into a vacant lot and hid under a cardboard box. Moments later, he heard the man and his mother calling for him. If he had found me, he would have killed me, in his rage. Albert's sure of it. Not long ago, there had been a rainstorm. Many of the students were getting ready to walk home. Sister Mary Jane, the principal at St. Anne's, the Catholic school, had pulled Albert aside and asked him if he had a raincoat. He hadn't. And so she went to the school closet, pulled out a shiny yellow coat, and said he could have this one. They went to Mass every day during school, but in those days it was all in Latin and we didn't understand none of it, Albert says. But the nuns, they spoke English. And they teach about Jesus, if nothing else. And Sister Mary Jane, the one who had given him the raincoat, told him, Jesus loves you, Albert. And whenever you need him, you can call on him. And hiding naked in a muddy, vacant lot, under a cardboard box with his mother's murderous boyfriend a few feet from him, threatening to kill him, Albert prayed. And all the man had to do was kick the box. And he just walked right on by. But the more serious opposition came from within. his own careening, out-of-control nature that opposed him. Albert got into drugs as a teenager. That's also when he met Bud. One day they were playing dice, and Albert was on a hot streak, and he had all their money in a pile, so Bud pulled out his .38 revolver, put it against Albert's head, and said, "Give me back my money." When Bud left, Albert's auntie gave him her pistol. "Go kill him," she said. Albert found Bud out in the street just after he had shot up. Albert's pistol shot only grazed Bud, and he got away. "Good thing, too. I would have killed him if I'd had the chance," Albert told me remorsefully between sips of coffee, reflecting on this 50-year-old memory and many more like it. Runaway desire plus addictive substance plus slippery company is a potent concoction, and Albert was hydroplaning from one disaster to another, assaulting a drill sergeant and incarcerated in an Army detention center, on probation at the post office for drug abuse and dereliction of his duties, begging his wife not to take the children and leave him, bedridden in a 27-day drug rehab program in 1991, 45 years old, when hope for transformation was improbable, borderline unbelievable. Albert did as Sister Mary Jane had said and called on Jesus. "Lord, help me, please, because I can't help myself." Now, I've never seen a crippled man healed, transformed in the name of Jesus, but I did have breakfast with Albert 33 years after that desperate prayer, and there is no better word to describe what Jesus has done, working faith into Albert's life: transformation. And that is part of what you can assume about someone who's been with Jesus. And you can assume struggle, because transformation comes with opposition. Just read the book of Acts, chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8. Not only persecution from without, but colliding desires from within. Transformation and opposition are part of our stories in this life. And it's not for us to know the times and the seasons of healing set by God, by his own authority. But God doesn't leave us to struggle alone. God gives us conversation, words to tell our stories. You remember the first thing Peter and John did? And presumably the man who'd been healed with them did after they were released? They went to their friends, to their sisters and brothers in the faith, and told them what happened. And together they brought that conversation to God and prayed. I share these stories with you to invite you into this centuries-long conversation, into this struggling community being transformed by the love of Jesus. Peter and John and these first disciples have given us their stories to share. And Albert gave me his story to share with you today, so we don't have to struggle alone. The opposition is real. It's not ultimately against people, but against the spiritual forces of this present darkness and against our own out-of-control nature. Total transformation is coming, because God raised Jesus from the dead, and he will raise us too, but Jesus says it's not for us to know the timeline. But it is for us to tell the story and to share the struggle. Do you have an Albert in your life? Ask him or her to share the story and listen. Let their words and their witness transport you and transform you. Listening to Albert's story, I've become part of his, and he's become part of mine. And now you too, all of us, in Jesus. Because we can't stop talking about what we've seen and heard. Now an elderly man, Albert, has new struggles. Staying healthy is hard after a long bout with diabetes. Practicing the faith is hard because he's seen a lot of hypocrites in the church and has been one too. Life at home can be hard, and teaching full-time in a public school at age 78 is no walk in the park neither. Kids these days act crazy, Albert says. Doing like I used to do. And so he wears his I Love Jesus hat every day, alternating between the blue one and the white one. Sometimes someone asks him about it. And somewhere in the conversation that follows, Albert tells them, he loves you too, you know. Like Sister Mary Jane told him, and so on back to the apostles, through this centuries-long, struggling, yet transformative exchange in the name of Jesus, of which you and I are also a part, because we can't stop talking about what we've seen and heard. Can we? In the name of Jesus, amen.
Sometimes one uplifting message can change your whole day. Daily devotions from Lutheran Hour Ministries bring you a word of encouragement and a message to strengthen you in your faith each day. These gospel-centered messages are delivered directly to your email when you subscribe at lhm.org/subscribe. Subscribe today, then share them with a friend. lhm.org/subscribe.
You're listening to The Lutheran Hour. Once again, here's Dr. Michael Ziegler.
We're visiting today with Dr. Jeff Gibbs, an emeritus professor of New Testament at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis and still teaching Bible class for his local church. Welcome back, Jeff.
Thank you, Mike. It's good to be back.
I think it's interesting that as Jesus sends his followers out in Acts and they're supposed to share the good news and be his witnesses, you never hear them tell anybody about how to go to heaven. And this might be a little surprising. It was surprising for me when someone pointed it out to me. You pointed it out to me, actually, Jeff.
glad to take the blame.
Yeah. So what does heaven refer to in Acts, and what does that have to do with the good news of Jesus?
I think because our culture, when it thinks about salvation or spiritual things, it thinks about them in, again, here's one of my favorite technical terms, a floaty sense. You know, so salvation is kind of up there, right? And salvation doesn't have much to do with bodies and physical stuff. And many people think, and Christians too, that the big goal is to just get the heck out of here. If I can just speak bluntly, that is simply not at all the way the Bible thinks and the way the biblical writers think, nor the way Jesus taught or anything. So the goal is not to escape. The big goal is to follow our Lord Jesus in dying and rising from the dead. That's the goal. And that's actually the focus in Acts, is the resurrection of Jesus. He is our substitute. And so just as he died in our place, he rose in our place. So his death became not our death because he suffered God's punishment, but his resurrection becomes our resurrection. And so Acts teaches us to, A, be so grateful that our new life has already begun because Jesus has raised from the dead, and to look forward to the day when he comes again, as we say in the Apostles' Creed, to judge the living and the dead.
Leaning into local radio, 98.3 FM WCQM, Park Falls, a civic media station. This is 98Q Country.
The members of Peace Lutheran Church in Park Falls now invite you to join them in their regular Sunday morning service of worship, now in their 72nd year of broadcasting. Peace Lutheran Church offers these services in order to bring the comfort and instruction of God's holy word to the sick, the shut-in, and the traveler. Today, using Divine Service, Setting 3, page 184, hymns are taken from the Lutheran Service Book, number 478, The Day of Resurrection, number 857, Lord, Help Us Walk Your Servant Way, number 630, Now My Tongue, The Mystery Telling, number 646, Church of God, Elect and Glorious, and number 488, He is Arisen, Glorious Word. Following the opening hymn, Pastor Samuel Morshing will lead the congregation in worship. The sermon theme is